Chapter 3. Probity. Nicton. Dilemma. The destroyer, Probity, raced through the middle reaches of the Southern system. At 1.5 kilometres long, it was a small ship. Commensurate with its size, it did not possess much in the way of raw firepower. A quintet of gun turrets down either side of the ship made up port and starboard gun batteries. The flared prow boasted a modest spread of torpedo tubes. A single direct hit from a cruiser-class vessel would render the Probity into hot atoms, but what it lacked in ferocity, it made up for in speed. Shipmaster Gellius was fond of likening the craft to a rapier set against the slow axe swings of the bigger ships. At that moment, all its speed was needed. The craft's patrol had been interrupted. Long-range auspexes, though compromised by the fury of the ruin storm and the blaring interference of the Pharos, had detected a large metallic mass moving towards Sotha. Alert for intrusion into the vital system, the Probity raced to investigate. "The target vessel is within visual range, my lord," Shipmaster Gellius informed his legionary master. 20 meters across and half as broad, the Probity's small war bridge was a study in economical design. Stepped levels fanned out downwards to the shuttered grand oculus to the fore, each crammed with multiple instrument banks and crew stations arranged in arcs along the level's leading edges. Upon the topmost dais, the only empty space on the command deck, Sergeant Lethicus observed proceedings. He was solid, even for a legionary, squat and thick-limbed, with a head like a bullet and little in the way of neck. He had a certain presence, and that, more than his body, took up the space of the dais.
"Uncover the oculus," Lethicus ordered.
The plasteel shutters on the great screen window opened, giving a view down the length of the ship's spine to its plough-blade prow. Unnatural, ruddy light shone onto the crew. From the mid-orbits of the Southern system, it was almost possible to shut out the ruin storm. If one looked to the galactic east, away from Ultramar, there the stars glimmered through the storm. The furious filter over reality was weaker in the east. Real space was almost apparent. The view corewards was another matter. Ultramar drowned in blood-red light. The raw fury of the sorcerous tempest was such that it had intruded from the warp into the realms of reality and cast a crimson veil over the cosmos. A false sky of terrible colour and violence split the Imperium. Two stars beside Sotha's own sun shone in that turmoil, and both were lies. Not suns. One was the lone world of Ultramar, illuminated by the arcane technologies of the Pharos beacon upon the world of Sotha. The second light was the beacon itself, illuminated and illuminator shone against the storm. The rest of Ultramar's 500 worlds and the wider galaxy were lost to sight. Macragge was a lonely harbour in a sea of horrors. Lethicus put his full weight on the railing, leaning out over Shipmaster Gellius's station. There was no throne for the legionary, as Lethicus's predecessor had ordered it torn out. His reasoning had been that, with 5 officers and 12 servitors occupying most of the bridge, a throne for someone of transhuman bulk did nothing but crowd it further. What was not said was that placing one of the Legion in such an exalted position was at best an indulgence, and at worst an affront to the authority of the human shipmaster. Lethicus agreed. He was painfully aware of the disparities in power between the Legion and its unmodified servants. For too long, he had felt distant from those he protected. Horus's betrayal had made him sensitive again to his identity. The men of the Legion were of humanity, not above it. Lethicus had never been an emotional person, not before his elevation, and certainly not since. Nevertheless, he felt a vague sense of disgust at how far he had allowed himself to drift from his own species. The destroyer surged forward on a hot blade of plasma. For a long space of time, nothing was visible, although Auspex soundings indicated that they drew near to their target. A dark shadow became apparent on the roil of the storm. No light shone from the vessel, no starlight picked out its edges. The only indicator of its presence was the slight dimming of the storm glow. To the half-blind Auspexes of the destroyer, the ship had been almost invisible until, by chance, it had wandered into the instrument's shortened range. on screens, on hololith projections, and in baffling lines of binaric screed, it registered as an enormous yet entirely inert piece of metal. Even this close, one had to know where to look in order to see it. The circular door at the rear of the bridge slid open, splitting the embossed Ultima in the middle and dragging it away into the wall. Brother Caius, Squad Lethicus's second in command, entered. The armsman by the door snapped out a salute.
"You took your time, Caius," grumbled Lethicus. "Drill, Lethicus. Do it right or not at all. We were not under attack. We were almost done. I insisted we finish."
Lethicus moved his head in a gesture that might have been agreement.
"What is it that has you all exercised?" Caius asked. "We are close now."
"A ship?"
"As we feared, it is a vessel. Legiones Astartes."
"A strike cruiser?" said Caius. He leaned forward, squinting through the oculus against the maddening light of the storm. The ship grew by the second, giving up its secrets slowly.
"Hard to tell whose. Looks badly mauled. Do you think it came in following the Pharos?" "If it had, why is it not at Macragg? Why did it arrive in the Southern system? Only the location illuminated by the beam is visible in the warp, not the beacon itself."
Once they came within 1,000 kilometers, the ship grew rapidly in the forward view. It was much larger than the Probity, but as the Orspecs reported, devoid of life. "Your orders, my lord." Shipmaster Gellius was an able commander, but nevertheless he glanced over his shoulder at the space marine behind him for direction.
"Take us around it, slowly," said Lethicus gruffly.
"Ordered and understood," said Gellius. The Probity slowed. Minutes passed. Maneuvering carefully, the destroyer pulled alongside the larger ship at a distance of 10 kilometers.
"A total wreck," said Caius dismissively. "That is no reason not to be careful." "I agree, brother, but we shall be seeing a lot more of this. War is everywhere. There are plenty of nearly dead ships making it into the warp and not making it out again. So many others are disappearing en route. We cannot afford to jump at every derelict. Let us report it and move on. It is too much of a coincidence that it is here at Sotha. Take us in closer, Gellius. Bring us within 300 meters.
"Aye, my lord. Helm, watch for attendant debris. Engines, ahead 1/4. Spine gunners, stand by. If anything larger than a fleck of paint comes near us, shoot it down," Gellius said.
The Probity slowed further, matching pace with the wreck. Now the ships were at equal relative velocity, the cruiser's progress was reduced to a deceptive ponderousness, rotating off-center of its mass, so that its prow and stern described tight circles. Search beams stabbed out from the starboard of the Probity, punching holes of brilliance into the dark of the ruined hull. Hard white light picked out great gouges down the sides of the craft, and ragged holes striped by buckled decks. Plumes of condensing gas leaked into space. Around the breaches, the metal was rimed with gas frosts. A myriad fragments of metal followed the wreck in a cloud, dragged along in its gravity wake.
"Thrown! There's nothing left of it," said Caius. "I don't see a functioning gun. That can't have been the storm alone." "That's definitely battle scarring, not warp damage," said Lethicus.
"Give me a full Orspec sweep," said Gellius.
"Aye, shipmaster,"
said Juliana Vratus, the ship's Orspecs and Vox officer. Three servitors groaned their compliance in unison as she tasked them with the order.
"Helm, take us over the top," said Gellius.
He snapped off a number of crisp commands, and his metal-tipped fingers danced in the air, accessing a light-spun interface that only Gellius's augmetic eyes could see. The Probity turned neatly and passed over the top of the intruder. Broken dorsal towers slid beneath her keel. Servitors burbled and ground their teeth behind metal masks. The Orspec station shone with fresh streams of incoming data.
"No traces of power or life signs," said Vratus. "The ship has suffered catastrophic damage. There are residual plasma leaks on the port side."
She glanced up at the oculus.
"They should be visible now. There."
Orange targeting reticles zeroed in on spouts of gas emanating from the craft's reactor block, these glowing with the false color of great heat.
"Those are driving the ship's revolution. Magnitude of pressure suggests reactor death and breaching sometime within the last week.
Any idea of which legion she was from? Asked Caius.
No identification cipher is being broadcast. Electromagnetically speaking, it is dead. I can run a silhouette identification routine through the cogitators, but that will take some time.
Lethicus shook his head. It's a plain ship. I don't see any adornment or legion iconography. It's hard to tell the colour of the livery, said Caius. Could be dark blue or black. There's a start. Raven Guard, Night Lords, Iron Hands, Dark Angels, take your pick. Lethicus's armoured hands gripped hard as he scanned the derelict's every night-coloured surface. Can you get me a look at the bow plate, Gellius?
As you wish, Sergeant, said the shipmaster. He pinched invisible directives with his haptic finger implants. Servitors and logic engines responded. Watched carefully by the ship's helmsman, they redirected the probity along the tumbling wreck toward the prow.
Give me a theoretical, Caius, said Lethicus. Warp outfall. Victim of Gellerfield failure brought on by engagement damage. The vessel has certainly seen some heavy action. It could be one of the ships from the Wordbearers or World Eaters fleets. A casualty of their attack on Ultramar. The colours are wrong, but that means little now.
Lethicus drummed his fingers on the rail. He narrowed his eyes. Or?
It's a trap, said Caius.
What then?
We should leave, said Caius.
There is a sensible practical for you. Lethicus snorted. If only we could. The craft is drifting, but it is possessed of significant momentum. Furthermore, it is on a direct intercept course for Sotha. At this speed, it will arrive within 5 days.
What is the chance of impact upon the planetary surface? Asked Caius.
Vratus's fingers danced over a number of buttons. Her station's cogitators spat out their answers in a string of flaring numbers on the screen.
70%. It is on a direct heading, once gravity forcing is taken into account.
Chances of detection? Asked Lethicus.
If it gets in close, they'll never see it. The Pharos has practically blinded the orbital.
Always the Pharos, said Lethicus.
Vratus nodded.
Yes, my lord.
Xenos Tech,
said Caius softly.
I don't trust it.
Lighting up the capital for all to see while leaving us blind and itself vulnerable. Makes me feel like a glowworm in a cave full of bats.
We have to call it in, said Lethicus.
We will not be able to warn the Ejida from here, my lords. Vox at this range is unreliable, and astro-telepathy is unworkable in the face of the storm.
Vratus became discomfited.
Astropath's secondary Kivar is still not well after his last attempt. Shall I ask Mistress Tabanian herself to attempt a communication?
Lethicus shook his head. I'll not risk her mind on a message that won't get through.
Kivar, then, said Caius. You could ask nicely.
We've lost too many astropaths. Kivar is barely sane as it is. We will make all speed for a relay station and send a boosted Vox message in system.
We could follow the ship in, said Caius. We could go ahead of it and warn them in person.
Lethicus stood up and pinched at his chin.
If this is a deliberate act, whoever set us this little dilemma is clever. They chose this spot, where we are spread thinnest. Theoretical, if we escort this wreck all the way, we will be leaving a big hole in the patrol net. They might be waiting for us to do exactly that, to follow us all the way home themselves.
Or they might be hoping we let it slip by while we go and make the call, said Caius thoughtfully.
All theoreticals leads to poor practicals. If we board it, we risk attack. If we leave it, we risk allowing infiltration forces in system.
We are carrying a full payload of torpedoes, said Lethicus.
Gunnery, said Caius. Can we destroy the vessel?
Yes, my lord, but to do so would require the expenditure of the larger part of our ordnance.
Then we would be virtually defenceless, said Caius. The probity's guns are not up to much.
We'd still have our speed, said Gellius. He was justifiably proud of his nimble ship. If we're attacked, we can outrun almost anything.
Speed is as fine a weapon as a gladius in the right, began Caius.
Apologies, my lord. I have identified the vessel, interrupted Vratus. It is the Nicton, 8th Legion, Last confirmed sighting was at the Battle of Zagualsa in the Thramus sector. Reported crippled by the First Legion sometime after that, unconfirmed.
She rapidly examined a number of data feeds.
All saviour pods and lifeboats appear to have been launched. Nothing but residual power signatures from secondary and tertiary sources. It's dead, my lord.
That battle was more than a year ago, and it still bleeds plasma. That is recent damage, or a ploy. I will bet my last bolt shell that there is life in it yet. Lethicus slammed his hand into the rail with sudden anger. Nightlords. I don't like it. There's something wrong with this entire situation. If the Nicton had come in on a random tide, it should have been picked up by the Mandeville's sentry vessels. Gellius, pull us back. Gunnery, formulate a firing solution. Minimum ammunition expenditure. Vratus, keep watch. Broad sweep or specs in a full sphere.
Vratus frowned. Sensorium range is restricted to 10,000 kilometers. Execute that order, Orspec's command. Divert energy from the engines for full signal boost. Give Vratus what she needs, said Gellius.
He swallowed specifically, activating the vox bead embedded in his throat.
Tech Adept Mu G936. Prepare the sensorium and Orspec suites for full power engagement. Engines, dead stop. Vector thrusters, full. Come about. Prow over 180 degrees. Half thrust forward. Heading 349 by 26. Take us clear of the Nicton.
Bells rang. The engines powered down and the throbbing of the deck plates changed. The probity shook as braking thrusters fired, their discharge misting the oculus with freezing gases. The ultramarine ship pulled away from the Nicton, leaving it to continue its unsteady course towards Sotha. The probity's prow swung in a wide arc as she turned amidships. Reactive forces tugged at the crew, at odds with the pull of the grav plating. Lethicus experienced a brief sensation of falling in two directions at once. Then the ship braked, and the main engines burned hard again, taking it away from the derelict with a steady acceleration, and the odd sensation disappeared. They proceeded so for 5 minutes, the distance between the two vessels growing rapidly.
Orspec's sounding indicates no sign of other vessels, said Vratus.
Are you certain? Asked Caius.
As certain as I can be, my lord, with the interference of the storm.
Good enough, said Caius. It will have to be, said Lethicus. Shipmaster, destroy the vessel, then make all haste to the seventh beacon. We will send a report in from there. It is the only way to be sure Sotha will receive our vox transmission. If we're being watched, we're in imminent danger.
As you order, my lord. I advise you that the diversion will take us away from our scheduled patrol route. Vox communication from the beacon will not reach Sotha for several hours, and it is 2 days' sailing to the seventh beacon, said Vratus. They will not receive our report for 54 hours.
Better they receive warning late than never, said Lethicus.
My lord.
Make all speed. Bring us to battle readiness.
Aye, my lord, said Gellius. All hands, prepare for battle. Combat protocols will come into force in 45 seconds. All hands to stations.
Vratus, send out a message now through the ship's long-range foxcaster. There is a chance it will get through, said Lethicus.
Understood.
Vratus returned to her station. Gellius, I shall leave you to your command without further interference. I thank you for your forbearance.
My lord Lethicus, said Gellius. He dipped his head, but did not take his attention from his instruments or his crew.
At a distance of 6,000 kilometers from the dead Nicton, the probity banked round hard and launched a full spread of torpedoes after the Night Lord's wreck. In two groups of three, they slid from their tubes, puffs of frozen atmosphere following them out. They spread in a fan. Bright thruster jets burned cleanly against the dirty redness of the ruin storm, altering the munitions' course sharply. Their hugeness gave them an illusion of lumbering elegance, when in truth they could run at a significant proportion of the speed of light. The second volley of torpedoes was already launching when the first impacted. An overlapping cluster of brilliant spheres burst into existence, winking out almost as quickly. Glowing coronas of debris blasted off from the dead ship. They cooled rapidly, becoming dark shapes that fell away, propelled in every direction by the explosions. The second round of hits followed shortly afterwards, a further blossoming of nuclear fire glaring through the ship's oculus. But it wasn't until the third volley, coming on the heels of the second, that the derelict strike cruiser burst apart into a ball of glowing metal fragments and gases. The destroyer remained still for a moment, as if it were assessing its own handiwork. Then its single main engine ignited, and manoeuvring thrusters jetted hard on the port side. Describing a long parabola, the Probity put the Southern Star to its stern and skimmed along the plane of the ecliptic toward the system's anonymous gas giant and the Vox relay station situated there.